Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Which one of the Monterey Five is going to crack first? Are we finally going to take down the beast that is Mary Louise? And are Ed and Tori going to bang? Stick around on AfterBuzz TV because we're going to talk about Big Little Lies Season 2.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yes!
Oh my
gosh. I can't like be happy. I'm like stressed
No, it's so funny, Jesse. I thought you were gonna scream like Mary Louise did.
Oh my
earlier
god.
In the season.
That's what I feel like doing. I'm right? So stressed out by this episode.
Y'all, thank you for tuning in, because I'm stressed too, Jesse. Episode 6 of Big Little Lies Season 2. Bad Mother. It's a great title for this episode. I am your host, Ollie Drennan. I'm joined by an amazing panel filling in for me and Simone. We miss you girls, but we also have Shay Jones. They will be back, right? Shay Jones.
Yeah.
I'm Shay Jones. Yes. Okay, but you got to tell me, because you're joining us. You haven't been in the season. How are you liking the season, girl?
I'm loving it. When you have such a great first season as Big Little Lies was, how do you top yourself? And you just think, right? Oh, we're going to add a queen.
Mm-hmm.
And we add Meryl Streep and makes it all better.
Right. Mm-hmm. And next to her is another queen. You're a queen yourself, Shay. But we also have Queen Jessie Zayner in the
thank
house.
Thank you, guys. Thanks so much. Everybody's in live chat right now, and they are, like, blowing my mind. So, like, yes. I'm so excited to talk. Thank you guys for joining us in live chat right now. Thank you.
Jessie also has news and gossip for us later, too.
Yeah.
So, why don't we get going? We got a lot to talk about. We got to talk about Monterey 5, Mary Louise. We got to talk about Ed, too, okay? And and Juliet. Oh, Juliet.
Stress management.
Right? So, initial thoughts on episode 6. I was telling you guys it was kind of messy. I'm still kind of processing it because it was kind of all over the place in the sense. And I feel like each one of the members of the Monterey Five kind of had a unhinged moment.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree or disagree with that statement? Everyone was a little off the rocker this episode.
I feel like Jane is the only one that was more less.
She snapped.
Because she could have went off on Corey. And personally, if me were me, Oh, wait. Mary Louise. Dang, I was just thinking about Corey. I didn't get to... Oh, then yeah, everybody was crazy.
Right.
Well, not so crazy, just... You know, the cracks are showing. Like, they're showing, and they're just, like, it's like spider webs of cracks are just, like, on their skin, and just, like, one thing's gonna make it all break.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They broke the mirror, and they fixed it, but you still see those cracks, right?
Yeah.
Right.
This is a crazy episode. Like, it left me wanting more. I didn't want this episode to stop, but I'm nervous, like, what is gonna happen? Like, I used to think I knew who was gonna break, and now I don't know.
I know, and it was playing us with all the instances with, like, Bonnie and whatnot. Oh, is that really happening? Is that a dream? Is that a vision? I was confused, y'all.
I will say this: only people I actually say I don't think is gonna crack are Celeste, Renata, and Jane. It legit is gonna be down to Madeline or Bonnie at this point.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's what I really feel. Renata's just like, I ain't got time. We've been hacked. I'm dealing with some other things in my life. I'm about to be poor again.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
We have Jenna James in the live chat, and she said this episode was lit, and that is, like, a good word to describe it, because it really was. Like, it was nonstop from start to finish.
I agree that it kind of, you brought up, like, it ended kind of, like, very abruptly, but that was perfect setup for the season.
I know.
Season finale or series finale. We don't know if we're going to get a season 3, but it's perfect. I feel like next episode is going to be even more lit. It's going to be, there's going to be a couple explosions, y'all. So let's get into our first topic, which is Jane and Corey. Because we picked up last week, or we left off with Corey being spotted at the police station by Bonnie. And come to find out, Jane did tell Corey about her past with Perry. She never confessed to killing him, but Corey did tell... Corey was in questioning, and now Jane's feeling a little standoffish and a little... she just doesn't trust people, and I feel like that's very understandable.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Her being a victim and how Perry treated her and abused her. So what were your thoughts on Jane and Corey's kind of arc in this episode?
I definitely understand needing to take a step back when you're, you know, your person, boyfriend, maybe we haven't figured out our titles yet, gets questioned by police. Okay, now I trusted you with some information. Now how do I not know you're gonna not tell the police anything deeper that's happened in this situation? Mm-hmm. And I have a child, so I do have to take a step back and, you know, just, you know, center myself, because whatever happens between me and you is also, my child is a factor. Mm-hmm. It's a big factor. And I'm a mom. And at the end of the day, that's not going to stop me being a mom, because I'm a woman too. And I need to protect my child from learning any more truths that he has to go through.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
That you bring up a really good point talking about the child, because I, at first when you asked the question, Ollie, I was thinking just between Jane and Corey, but... So one thing that was so difficult for me when he basically tells her what happened and he's like, oh, one of you guys is going to break and the first person who does is going to get cut a break. Then I thought, oh my gosh, as a mother, what do you do? Because like she doesn't want to, like what if somebody, it's just such a hard position, because if somebody else breaks, then you're being taken away from your child. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Jane is just in a really tough position right now.
Because... the first one gets a break, but then the other four are effed.
Right.
Not to curse. But as you bring up being a mother, then she has to think about the other mothers and their children.
Exactly.
And how that will affect them.
Here's my question for you guys.
Yeah. Yes, please. Please.
So if one breaks, then the other four are effed, right? What if they all just confess together as one?
Yeah.
What happens then if they all can actually go in and confess together?
I don't know.
I don't think they're going to agree on that, though. That's a good question,
but,
though.
I mean, I think it bears to be asked, because if one... Technically, if you get a cut or break if just one of you breaks.
Right.
But if we all break at the same time to the same person, that changes everything.
So that's something that came through in my head, too. Because when I put myself in Jane's position, I'm like, what do I do? Because, like, I don't want to lose my son, but also I don't want to put my friends at jeopardy of losing their kids. So what is the best thing you could do? Well, the best thing you could do probably is just, like, not break and just keep going with the lie and mm-hmm. hope that it disappears. I don't know. But the only other thing you could do is just all go in and tell the truth.
Right.
And I don't know what the repercussions are, because I don't know, like, the law behind, I mean... they lied to the police, so mm-hmm. there's that, and I don't know.
Yeah, all of the filming of it and whatnot, being interrogated, and I mean, plus Celeste is still, as we'll talk about more about her, but she's, the case is already going on, you know? She said in that moment that she didn't push Perry.
But she didn't lie there, though.
That's true.
So she didn't have to lie.
She didn't commit any perjury yet.
But she was still saying that he slipped, you know?
That's true. That's a good point.
I mean, but the only thing I feel like they can actually get charged with, is obstruction of justice. Because technically, even if Bonnie pushed him, it was in self-defense of everybody else getting their butts kicked by Perry. One dude beat all these women up. So at the end of the day, I would ask Detective Quinlan, like, even if we came clean and told you the truth, would you still, as a woman, just leave this as an accident and charge it as homicide? Because that's there's so many complexities to it, and technically, law and order is supposed to be black and white, but life isn't like that.
Right.
So I feel like there's so many factors to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Plus, with the factors of their past, we already know that's Celeste and Perry. They have that abusive, violent relationship. Or they had it. And then, obviously, Jane's connection to being abused and raped by Perry as well. So there's another two layers up on that crazy, complicated altercation that led to his death. So, any more thoughts on Jane? She did have that crazy moment with Mary Louise, but I was here for it. I was waiting for her.
Oh, so was I.
It was deserved, though.
I thought it was going to be Renata to go off like that.
Yeah.
And then Mary Louise slammed the door. Here's the thing, though. We'll talk more about Mary Louise, but... And we've kind of brought this up in the past of this season, but Mary Louise always responds with like a question. Mm-hmm. She never can own up to
her own responsibility.
Being interrogated, yeah. Jane just tried to be like, as a mother, yada, yada, yada. And Mary Louise was just not having it and proceeded to ask Jane a question to kind of.
She is so good.
To kind of just get in there. And that toxicity within Mary Louise is just so. It's so infectious. And scary.
She's so manipulative. Like, Ziggy told me you bought a gun. Were you going to kill Perry? Did you come here to hunt him down or something? I'm like, oh my.
I'm also like, Ziggy, why did you tell Mary Louise that?
And he's so smart. What was he thinking?
I figured like, oh, I have a grandmother. Maybe I... And he's a kid, so I don't think he really thinks of the consequences of me telling you this. At the same time, like you said, she always asks a question. I need her to be stumped.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I really do. I need somebody to stump her.
I'm like, I don't want to say it, but...
Should we save it? Save it?
Or, I don't know. Maybe, yeah.
We'll talk more about Mary Louise, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, to end this conversation of Corey and Jane, Corey does seem like a good guy, we'd like to think. He's staying.
Yes.
He wants to support her, even though Jane is still being prickly, as he called her, at the aquarium.
Oh, my gosh. Like, it's, like, on the left. Like, that's some shade I love,
though. I really do want to trust him.
So do I.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think it was amazing for him to be saying, I'm not walking away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, despite what's happening right now, I don't want to walk away from you, so you can keep pushing me. I'm going to keep showing up. So, as a man whose son is not yours and you want to stand up, I got to respect it.
So, props to Corey. He's a good guy. But we also have to talk about Ed and Madeline. But before that, before all this relationship drama, Jesse Zahner is going to drop some major, not news, but major info for y'all, because we love y'all.
Yeah. Just hey, guys, before we move on to our next topic, we just wanted to thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. For us to continue growing, we need your help, so keep chatting with us in the live chat. Thank you for everybody that's joining us. Make sure you subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Leave us comments. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Leave us comments. Being a part of AfterBuzz has meant so much to me because I get to meet these lovely people and talk to them and become friends with everybody, and I love hearing from you guys. I'm in the live chat now, so please talk to us. We love hearing from you guys. I love discussing everything in the comments with you. And we have a shout out to a special person who left us a 5-star review on iTunes.
Yes, we really appreciate it, y'all. This is coming from MJ Owens or M. Johns from iTunes, left this 5-star review on iTunes. The best kind of recap. Stumbled upon this show recently and have gone through and dabbled into your other shows. I love the coverage and even use some of the views while, shouting y'all out on my own podcast. Keep up the good work, and I can't wait for next week.
Shout out to you.
If you give us that 5-star review, we might shout you out more than likely on next week, the season finale. Well, if multiple people leave us reviews, girl, you know.
It's just like you said, more than likely.
More than likely, exactly, because we love you guys.
We do.
So until then, keep chatting with us. Like, subscribe, comment. Get us in that live chat. We're watching y'all. We read the comments. So, without further ado, let's get on to Madeline and Ed. I already said this. Ed didn't hook up with Tori yet.
Okay, so can we, like, talk about that? Because I'm, like, on one still from last episode. Okay. Literally been affecting my life for a full week. So, sorry that I have to cut you off here. But
no,
like,
you're good. No. I want to hear it.
So, remember last week when we saw Ed at the bar with that girl and then her husband was there?
Right.
Was he just seeing him?
Wait, what?
Was he just seeing him and he wasn't really there? That's what I think happened. Because it's so funny because I talked to other people after we did our podcast and other people were saying, oh, I think they're swingers and all this. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. But now after he met with that girl again, I don't want to jump too far ahead, so tell me if I am. He was like so paranoid and he kept looking and like seeing men. And so I'm thinking maybe in last episode when they were at the bar, nothing happened, but the husband wasn't really sitting there. He was like paranoid and seeing him.
I actually thought the husband was there because they both looked in the same direction.
I thought he was too, and I thought he was like pissed, but now I'm thinking maybe he was just paranoid and he was just seeing him.
No, I love that. I didn't even think of that. I love that you brought that up because even last week, I remember saying something about that scene, that montage was a little spooky, or like it was weird. It felt dreamlike. So maybe that was kind of him hallucinating.
And he was like sitting there and there was like a light shining on him. So I'm like, oh, maybe it was all fake. Which, like, they really screwed with my head for a full week. Cause I'm like, what is Ed doing?
I mean, if there's visions, premonitions in the show, if there's going to be scenes of Bonnie shouting out in court that she pushed Perry, then I believe that it could have very well been like a hallucination from Ed. Interesting.
Okay, so let's go on and continue with Ed and Madeline, because I love Ed so much.
Well, I was going to say, Madeline seems to be, as her daughter Chloe said, a little unhinged still.
Oh my gosh.
Have any of y'all noticed but me that she's been drinking a lot this season? Mm-hmm. She has a bottle of wine, she was drinking at the party, she was drinking on the porch, she was drinking in this episode.
Yeah.
And we led to Ed coming home with the kids and seeing his wife in the dress. And she was just a little under the influence. So, what are your thoughts on Madeline and how she kind of seems to want to confess to Ed? Because there's a level of being transparent that Ed, earlier in the episode, didn't see until seeing her in the dress. So, what were your thoughts on this whole mess? Because she was a little messy. Mm-hmm. My girl, but she a little messy.
I mean, aren't we all, though? Let's be real. If you're not messy, I don't really think there's anything real about you, because I feel like if you're perfect, what do you have to strive for to get better as a person? So I appreciate the messiness that is Madeline. When it comes to Ed, however, I still have questions about Tori, because even when they first ran up to each other earlier the season, you know, she had a job on her girls, and he was just like trying not to look down so hard. It was just, I don't want to look down. I don't look past your nose today. But I'm noticing something different about you.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, despite the fact that you have entertained the idea of maybe having something with Tori for the last couple of years or so, have you done it? And the fact that if you've done it, is that why you're so mad at Madeline?
Wait, what was the question?
If Ed had already maybe slept with Tori.
Which he didn't.
Now we know, but I was thinking before, maybe he'd already slept with Tori, and that's why he was so upset before, you know, they had that conversation at the coffee house.
No. He didn't sleep with her. Like, but, like, what you made me think of, the whole question that was brought up in the episode was, do you think it's considered cheating or kind of infidelity by him even having the idea or meeting up with her? So
So I don't think it was for him, because I don't think it was his idea. I think it was her idea, because now she's making it very clear. Like, she's, like, coming after him now, and, like, he's, like, paranoid. He's, like, looking around. He's scared. He's, like, already feeling bad. So I don't think, like, he went to her with the idea. So I'm, like, he's kind of off the hook in my eyes, because, like...
A little bit.
Entertaining the idea, no. You're not at fault. If you go through with it, then you're at fault.
So you don't think it's bad that he's with her at all? Like, you don't think it's, like, a little shady?
Mm. I mean, at first, you know? I did. I'm not going to lie. Actually, it was a little shady, because you're in a public place. You're having this conversation about maybe having the possibility of sleeping with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And hurting your spouse as much as she hurt you. But even if you did that, I don't think Ed as a character or as a person will feel any better if he went through with it.
Yeah, I agree. No, that's a good point, because he seems like such a good guy, unlike Nathan. No, but he seems very guilty. He's very guilty just even kind of entertaining the idea, even if that was a hallucination of Joseph seeing them in the bar. But going back to the question of Madeline, should Madeline tell Ed about possibly killing Perry, or just like the situation, or even opening up to more, you know? And I love seeing Renata saying, no, no, we're fine.
We're fine.
And so, like, to me, that was like, oh my God, Renata is so confident with this.
And
to me, she was the one least likely to crack, but also
totally. She
kind of did. We'll talk about it in a second. But any more thoughts on kind of Madeline and Ed and so, the whole...
Yeah, I had a question about that. So because I trust Ed for the most part, right? But he is very honest. So, like, is he going to be the honest guy that goes, we have to go to the police and tell? Because the thing is, if you tell him, I don't know, I'm not a lawyer, so if somebody's a lawyer in the comments, or maybe you guys know this, but I don't think he has to testify against her in court, right? So if
husbands
he knows...
Husbands and wives cannot testify against their spouses.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think they have to. I mean, maybe if he wants to, I don't know. But, like, so if Madeline told him, he wouldn't have to, right?
Would he... Okay, that's a good question. So many good questions this after show. But I wonder, could he testify against another one of the other moderates?
That's a good point. Could they call him to testify against somebody else?
Yeah.
But the question would be...
Okay, just don't tell. There's so many questions.
So if she did tell him, technically it came from her. So he'd be getting the information from his wife, who he can't testify against. So just, even if he was to testify against somebody else, it'd be hearsay.
All right, this is getting too confusing, so just don't tell. Don't tell anybody. Keep your mouth shut. Actually, nobody break, and just move on.
Part of me kind of wants her to, and I really don't know why. Because I really feel like they need this in a sense of complete transparency to be honest with each other. But I would, if I'm going to do that, I would also forego and say, I need you to... I drew up this contract that says once the information I tell you, you cannot say to anyone. Just to protect me. But granted, because he's so honest, that brings into question that. However, the only reason I don't think he would crack is because they have children.
Yeah.
Mm. And that I think that's his saving grace for me as a character. So if Madeline did come through and said, hey, this is what really happened tonight, Perry Wright died, and if you tell on any of us, we'd lose the kids. Mm-hmm. It could be any, like, I feel like if she brought it in that way, it might change everything.
All right. Interesting.
Oh, Cece says not only does he not have to testify against her, he could not. It's her privilege to protect.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. All right. Well,
it's getting really confusing.
It is. I was also shocked when we were watching the whole thing about Renata and her husband.
Oh, my Lord.
We got a little information. Not so much from Renata in this particular episode. So I'm sad to see no Lord Dern that much. But she had kind of a little snapping moment when she found out that there was some... What was it at the...
Stress management.
Stress management for 160,000 K. Yeah. From Juliet, the nanny. So basically, in a nutshell, Gordon was effing the nanny.
Mm-hmm. And for what, 6 years?
There goes the transparency. See, these couples cannot be transparent. So
no, Gordon just sucks as a husband. Let's just be clear.
Yeah.
He feels emasculated by Renata as a character. Mm-hmm. Just true, he does. And I feel like because she has been so successful in her life and he's making bad choices or mistakes that he's made. And though he technically feels bad about it, he just thought if I could get to that point where Renata was, we'd be more on equal footing. Because they're not.
I also think that because Renata was probably, she's more than likely the breadwinner, she is the essential figure in that household. Mm-hmm. I think maybe he didn't feel like he had a whole lot of control. So his control, he probably stressed him out. His control came from Juliet and mm-hmm. utilizing her for sex. So that was probably why he did that. Stress management, air quotes. So he's just a dog and he has no saving grace. There's nothing.
Like,
he's
first
already
of
got
all,
poor little Amabella has to just go through this and see her parents just, ugh.
The community property is what effed me up in that whole situation. So my money that I worked so hard for is now apparently your money mm-hmm. and I had to lose my money. You better pray. I was with Renata when she said, I'm going to get you back. It might not be today mm-hmm. because we're going to be happy because of Amabella, but I will get you back. And I am so, like, I support that message.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, someone who was transparent in this episode was Bonnie with her mom, who's still kind of in the coma, coming in and out, not the coma, but in and out of the hospital. She's unconscious one moment, she's conscious the next, and she confesses that she resents her mother mm-hmm. and that she didn't push Perry that night. I mean, she did, but she pushed her mom that night. And I thought that was really powerful. And she just reveals like so much of her backstory and just this monologue of confessing and how she, because of the abuse from her mother, she would have so much, she would have sex when she was 13.
Yeah. She started at 13, which is so young.
And she just kind of went off in this really reckless behavior. And I thought it was, obviously, it's different from Celeste's abuse, but I kind of, like, related the two in the sense mm-hmm. because of the sexual connection of abuse. Mm-hmm. So what were your thoughts on her confessing in this episode to her mom, closing the door, despite it, like, her mom teared, kind of, so I guess she heard? So what were your thoughts on this? Because there was a lot to unpack in this.
For me, it is... I can relate to Bonnie in that situation because I've had a similar monologue in my head when it comes to my own mom because I'm a foster kid. So it's just, it needed to be said. It's one of those things where you've been holding it in and you're just so angry, especially as a child, because you have no control and you lash out at other people. And it just, it tears up your soul, like, bit by bit, that anger that's just boiling in you. And unless you have a way to release it or let go and let God, it seriously will just fester at your soul, even as you get to become an adult. And when she said, you know, I started having sex at 13 because I wanted to be loved, and I wasn't getting love from you. I wasn't getting a stable childhood for every, you know, door you slammed, for yelling at me for just doing homework, for me for marrying a man I don't love. First of all, that was just like, whoa. Okay, so you don't love Nathan. Got you. But, like, all the choices that, you know, led me to that moment at that school, I saw you in Perry. I didn't see Perry. I saw you standing there. And I'm actually, now I'm growing up and I can actually defend somebody else. I couldn't defend myself because I was a kid. My dad couldn't defend me, and he chose not to. But now I can defend somebody else. So it's just a full circle of just Bonnie's evolution.
It's powerful. I loved it.
Yeah, I think it's really relieving for her to get this out, because we see her go through so many things. Like, she's so in her head about everything. And everybody on the show is seeing that she is struggling. So we see all of these things. We see a scene where she looks down at her mom and her mom's, like, conscious and she's getting ready to kill her. Something that somebody brought up in the live chat was the point when she asked the nurse if they could kill her.
Right.
I mean, and then just the stuff with, you see, like, these flashbacks of her with her mom, and then it's heartbreaking because then you see her daughter in the room and she's like, did I ever tell you you're such a great daughter? So it's just like, she's just in a really weird spot, and it's really hard. So I feel like for her to be able to get all of that out is really good. But
it's cathartic.
And it, and I remember even in the last season when she did push him, I was like, of all people, Bonnie's going to push him? And now it makes so much sense.
Yes, that's a really good point.
It makes so much sense, and it really makes me just, I feel like we got to know Bonnie so much, more than any time. This was the episode where we got to know Bonnie the best.
Yeah.
And that was powerful.
You know what? Somebody in the live chat, Unstoppable Goddess, said, one thing I've learned from my dad, who's an attorney, by the way, is never put anything in writing. Let it out to your mom, but burn that journal. And that's so funny, because there is a scene where she, like, they show that she gets the journal back, and I remember thinking, what did you write in that journal?
Right, the detective's gonna get her hands on that,
because
the detective is looking Bonnie up and down this entire season and in this episode.
Right, because I'll leave it for predictions.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, before, we're running a little short on time, so let's get to Mary Louise versus... Because we got to talk about it. I got to save the best for last.
Farber.
Mary Louise versus Celeste. Celeste refuses to settle, and I actually am glad that she's refusing to settle, because I feel like she settled in the relationship with Perry. She settled for such a long time, settled for the abuse, even though she liked the
she liked the rough, which is not technically a bad thing if you like rougher sex. Everyone, that's just your preference, you know?
It's your preference. But I love the fact that she is really willing to fight, because I feel like she wasn't fighting in the relationship with Perry. She was just being very passive about it. And now she's ready to fight his mom. So what were your thoughts on this whole process of seeing Nicole Kidman just portray Celeste in such a very kind of weak state at first, but also she kind of grew stronger throughout the entire episode of being questioned?
I mean, I really feel like it's really hard when everything I've done is now being questioned, when my past sexual encounters are now for the forefront and fair game. And then you also, instead of treating me like a victim of an abusive relationship, you try to make me you blame me, basically. Like, I couldn't have left. I couldn't have told anybody. How dare you? At the same time, I went to Farber. How dare you? Blame me for not telling somebody, going to the police, or telling somebody, because a lot of abuse, people who are abused, especially women, they don't tell. They just don't. They feel like if they do tell, that's their death sentence. Because for some, it is. But it's also, what I also liked about it, the fact that it was real. It was just true to form. It was real. And Mary Louise is just kind of sitting there, like a little smirk and smiles in some cases. And when you realize, oh, you've had me followed. I mean, granted, we didn't know about all those sexual encounters. And even when Farber said, has any of your son met any of the guys? I really just want to be like, the only reason my son's met one was because Mary Louise showed up to my house right. at 6 in the morning with the boys and didn't tell me she was coming over. Mm-hmm. So granted, you got so many emotions, you can't really think like that, but that was seriously my thought process.
And also the Ambien. What I thought was really profound in this episode was the Ambien that she's been taking mm-hmm. and how the Ambien kind of, like, hit us, too. Because we didn't, at least I, you kind of got hints looking back that Celeste was with different guys.
Oh, totally.
But I was shocked to kind of have that confirmation that mm-hmm. she was been with all of these guys since Perry. Like, to me, I was hit with Ambien. Like, yeah. like I realized, or somehow I took Ambien, because that was a shocker. Same. For me, personally, my perspective. Yeah. I had no clue. I thought Joe was, like, basically the only guy.
But, like, yeah, did she not, like, know? Is she just, like, seeing the pictures and then she's like, oh, yeah, that guy. Oh, yeah. Because, like, the thing is, remember the lawyer? The lawyer, she knew what she was doing. Celeste should have just listened to the lawyer and just, like, shared custody with Mary Louise and just moved on. But because this is getting out of hand for her.
The only reason I agree with the fact that she didn't is because, like, I feel like even if she did agree to the custody battle, eventually Mary Louise would have tried to outmaneuver, manipulate to get full custody at a later date. Mm-hmm. So if they deal with it now, there's no reason to drag it out later.
Yeah.
Well, what we do know is that Celeste is a lawyer and she is yes. ready to question the hell out of Mary Louise next episode. Yes. I was about to say next season.
Oh, that was next that was an amazing like so, turnaround of
we're gonna get those predictions ready. Yes. See, that's why I love the growth in Celeste in this episode, because she started out very meek and a little unsure, very confused, but no, she gained so much confidence just in this single episode. So hold those predictions ready. We got to get to our special segment and then on to news. So why don't we get going on Lie or Try?
Why you yes. always lying?
Yes, everyone, After Buzzers, Lie or Try, you know this game. We're basically pulling a particular instance in an episode. This week we are doing, would you confess to your spouse about being tied to a murder? Basically, are you going to confess or are you going to lie? So what would you do in Madeline's predicament? Would you confess to Ed or your significant other that you are tied to a murder? Why or why not?
Such a hard question. Okay, my question is that before I answer it, are we thinking of Madeline now? Like, not yeah. right after it happened, but right now. Was she?
Well, don't think about Madeline. Think about you, Shay.
If I'm
Shay
Madeline,
Jones, you're Shay Jones.
Okay, I'm Shay Jones.
And your man, you gonna confess? No. Oh my gosh.
Okay. Why are you gonna confess?
I'm like, right? Are you?
Because I'm thinking of myself in Madeline's shoes, and if I was in Madeline's shoes, I'm like, no, I'm just gonna move on.
I'm in Madeline's shoes right now at this point in my marriage, and I did something yes. like that, I might be willing to confess to save my marriage, because technically the murder was in self-defense, and the only reason it didn't get staged that way is because it's also my fault that we're also cracking. So she also has that guilt on top of it. Mm-hmm. So if I have that guilt on top of me, I'm actually feeling it now. Like Bonnie said, like it's actually getting to you, the lie. Mm-hmm. I might be willing to do it.
Mm-hmm. I'd go see a lawyer, talk to the lawyer, and then
I mean, that's actually probably great. Talk to the lawyer first.
Can I tell my husband? Like, no.
Because I like Adam Scott, I would confess.
Aww,
because
I'm like, no, I do love Ed. I know.
Don't leave me for that big booby Tory. Like, I just saw him in this episode and how he was at first, he saw the fogginess within Madeline, and that. But later on, seeing kind of her be a little bit more transparent in the dress, regardless of whether that was staged or not, I loved seeing how, like, it was very endearing, his reaction to seeing Madeline like yeah. that. Maybe she was just very intoxicated, I don't know.
I mean, it was just like, you can't wave a wand, but this comes pretty close.
It was, right. it was sweet, especially with all the stress that these women are going through, the Monterey Five. We love you. You're going to pull through the next episode.
I hope.
But yeah, if you're joining us, please let us know, would you lie or would you try?
Well, some people in the chat are really funny right now.
Oh, gosh.
BMA 21 says, Celeste would never share custody with someone who doesn't believe she was abused. And Cece says, also, Mary Louise raised the monster that is Perry. There is no way yes. I would have settled, quote, unquote, with somebody else about raising my kids and getting the hard part of the week, too.
Yes, I agree with that. And that's what I talked about last week is, like, I'd be afraid to send my sons to her since that's the son she raised. And not saying that he turned out that way because of that, but I would just be, because of the way Celeste is handling the boys, mm-hmm. and she doesn't want them to end up like Perry. But because, I think this is what we talked about in one of these games too, because of the death and the lie, mm-hmm. that's why, yes, that's why I would have to just settle, because I wouldn't want to commit perjury and then right. have all of them run through and also commit perjury and then get everybody in trouble. So I just settle, move on, don't tell your lie. And
but also Mary Louise plays a lot of psychological warfare that's just too deep for me, like especially yeah. plays with the kids, especially like it's, mm-hmm. it's easier because you're putting up a grown woman against some 8-year-olds, like mm-hmm. that's probably like candy to like get information out of.
But those 8-year-olds aren't stupid. No. We know right. in this season.
We're not saying they're stupid. No.
But still.
They sometimes give away more than they should.
That's true. We saw it with Ziggy in this episode.
And even the boys. Like the twins.
So. Yeah. And Chloe. They say
especially Chloe.
Anyway, running short on time. So we got to get to news and gossip presented by Jesse Zahner.
Yes. So last episode, we talked about the big ice cream scene. So Problems with Big Little Lies Season 2 go deeper than the ice cream gate. Because remember, Madeline did yes. not throw the ice cream on Mary Louise. So turns out HBO and writer David E. Kelly are said to have gone back on their choice of Andrea Arnold as season 2 director, discarding most of her contributions in favor of season 1 director Jean-Marc Vallée, re-editing episodes into his own style. So they said that's why sometimes some of the scenes are a little bit choppy. And I didn't even notice that. I actually think this episode, or I think the season is actually better than last season.
I agree that it's better, but I do kind of see personally the little choppiness
of
it.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I was expecting that ice cream. I was expecting her to just and it was just, that alone was just abruptly ended.
That was.
Like,
yeah.
She could have just been, she was walking towards Mary Louise, mm-hmm. and they completely cut that as soon as it. So.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean now, because I didn't notice it, mm-hmm. but I actually, it would have made a lot more sense for her, because she's Madeline. You have ice cream in your hand.
Right. And we saw the photos.
Yes, mm-hmm. everybody during saw the photos. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Yes. So thank you so much for that news. Was there any more?
No. Nope,
okay. I don't want to
news for this week.
I don't want to cut you short, Jesse.
Oh, you're sweet. Thanks.
Because we love our news and gossip.
We do.
But we also love our predictions.
Oh my gosh.
AfterBuzz TV
for the finale.
All right, y'all. Let's do this. Who wants to go first for the season 2 finale of Big Little Lies?
Season 2. For the finale, I really think we're going to find out what happened actually to Perry's brother, mm-hmm. and what Raymond. Mary Louise had to do childhood-wise. Because I think there's a big trauma that happened that Celeste knows, which is also why she wanted to question Mary Louise herself.
Right.
So if that comes to light, how that's going to affect the petitioner mm-hmm. Guardianship, how that's going to affect that. I'm ready to find out what the big secret was right. that happened in their childhood. Because she always talks about Raymond like he was just this perfect person. She does the same thing with Perry now right. because obviously Perry was the only son left. But I think she also puts her children on a pedestal that mm-hmm. they just can't reach.
Mm-hmm. All right. Jesse, what about you?
Okay, so first we have a prediction in the live chat. I don't know how to say your screen name, so I apologize. BMA21 said, their prediction is Alexa heard everything, meaning when Bonnie was in the hospital, Skylar, her daughter, left what looks to be like a Amazon like dot or like right. Echo there, and yeah. they think that maybe Alexa heard the confession.
Right.
So that's their prediction, which I thought was really interesting, and it like blew my mind at the beginning of this. So my own prediction is, oh my gosh, so much is going to happen. I actually think Celeste is going to do a good job
right.
Questioning Mary Louise, and I think that please, HBO is so hard, so this is so tough, but like I pray to God that she questions Mary Louise like has always done what you said, like turned questions back around, mm-hmm. she finally breaks, Celeste gets her kids back, no one breaks, and we all live happily ever after. Wouldn't that be nice?
That's the fantasy that we
maybe
know.
Not I love that, Jesse. In a perfect world, yes.
Yeah,
but I think I would love that. I would yeah. really love that to play out, but I also think it won't go perfectly. Because who knows if there's going to be a season 3 or not?
Oh, yay.
You know, true.
Okay, that's good. Okay.
I don't know. I just wonder.
I hope that this doesn't happen then.
I wonder how they're just going to end it. Because are they going to do a cliffhanger style or something kind of just maybe abrupt? I have no clue. Like,
really quick, if somebody breaks, who is it going to be?
Madeline.
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
Only because I think Bonnie has made her peace now, in a sense.
Yeah.
I actually think at this point that no one's going to break. But unfortunately, we have to break the show. Because I didn't mean to say my predictions because we're running late on time.
I'm sorry.
But it's okay. It's okay. We'll leave them down in the comments below. Totally fine. Where can I find my special my special panel on social media?
Hey guys, you can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me Mondays at Grand Hotel at 8 p.m. and Tuesdays Good Trouble every Tuesday at 7 p.m. with special guests every week this season. Check it out.
I'm Jessie Zahner. You can find me all over social media at Athletic. And shout out to my mom, Cindy Zahner, who's joined us in the live chat tonight.
Hey.
Had so much fun.
Hey, Jessie's mom. Thank you so much.
Jessie.
And I'm your host, Ollie Drennan. It's been amazing hosting this show with y'all. Yeah. This is actually Jessie and I's last appearance on the show. But Shay will be back, and yes. So will Simone and Mia for the season finale. I'm going to be at Comic-Con, so that's why I'm missing it. And Jessie's doing her
half marathon. Yeah,
cheer but me we're going to watch in. We're going to tune in, and we're going to leave our comments. So thank you guys so much. We love you guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.